listen, listen, listen. God is speaking to us.
Kairos Milwaukee United Church of Christ presents Practicing Peace, the sermon by the Reverend Gene Randall Bodman, presented on Sunday, April 8th, 2018.
The evening of the first Resurrection Sunday, the disciples had locked themselves inside. I imagine them there, lights low, voices hushed, afraid that anyone will find them. If they were living in 2018, the TV would be off, the laptops would be closed, and the cell phones would be silenced. Two of them had run to the tomb in the morning. They had started to trust, but they still didn't understand. And by nightfall, they were locked in with their friends. We don't know what the disciples made of Mary's story, that she had seen Jesus alive. I wonder if they were locked in because they were afraid that the powers that had seized and murdered Jesus would come for them next. Or if they were locked inside discussing how they would face Jesus again if Mary's extraordinary tale were true. I mean, they had abandoned and betrayed him and run away to save themselves. The kind of thing that any of us might do in the face of empire's brutal power. There they were, hunkered down in their locked room, and suddenly, Jesus was standing among them. He didn't say, "Dudes, you left me alone." He didn't say, "Curse you and the horse you rode in on." He didn't say, "I'm back, let's go." He didn't call for revenge and retaliation. He didn't exhort them to fight back. He also didn't say to them, "Here is a blueprint for running a church." Nor did he say, "This is the doctrinal statement you will need to sign to be part of the group now that I have been raised." He did not give them the proper ecclesiastical structure or the definitive list of small groups and committees that each congregation should have. He said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he said those words and showed them the signs of his wounds, still there despite the resurrection, then the disciples recognized him, and then they were filled with joy. Just a few days before, as he was teaching them, he had said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." But the disciples had been troubled and afraid. When he spoke to them and showed them his wounds, their fear turned to joy. And he repeated a second time, "Peace be with you." Only then did he breathe on them and endow them with the Holy Spirit and send them out into the world to be in the world as God had sent him to be in the world. Over the next few weeks, during this Easter season, which, by the way, Easter is a season, it stretches from Resurrection Sunday all the way till Pentecost, 7 weeks long, we'll talk about that sending and what it means for us to practice resurrection and to work for justice and peace in an anxious and angry world. But first, peace. That peace was for the 10 who had gathered, and that peace was for Thomas, who had missed the first showing. Jesus came again to the gathered disciples, seemingly just to reassure Thomas. And again he spoke peace and showed them who he was by his wounds, encouraging Thomas to reach out to him. Jesus says to Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen? Blessed are those who have believed without seeing." I think we in the church have long thought that Jesus was reprimanding Thomas for his doubting. But I think that's wrong. I think instead he is blessing everyone who came after and believed the witness of those he breathed on and sent out, and the ones they breathed on and sent out down through the centuries, including you and me. Even when we long to see like Thomas, even when our hearts are troubled and afraid like the ten, even if we, like them, want to lock ourselves away in a room because we are afraid of what the powers of empire might do next, the blessing of peace is for us too, and it will sustain us. And we will need it, because the powers of domination and empire aren't going anywhere. It's very easy to lose hold of that peace, to doubt even our memories of having experienced that peace. When we realize that we are unpeaceful, anxious, and angry, it's tempting to imagine that if we can just find the right thoughts, we will be able to talk ourselves into a peaceful frame of mind. If we can just think this through, we will achieve that state of understanding and hence peace. Our temptation is to think of our mind as the only access to our souls. And we get stuck in our minds, and sometimes our minds get stuck in ruts that are fearful and anxious and not moving us forward. John O'Donohue, an Irish priest, poet, and philosopher, sees this another way. In his beautiful book, Anamkara, he wrote, "We should avoid the false dualism that separates the soul from the body. The soul is not simply within the body, hidden somewhere in its recesses. The truth is rather the converse. Your body is in the soul, and the soul suffuses you completely. Therefore, all around you, there is a secret and beautiful soul light." This recognition of his suggests a new art of prayer. And with your indulgence, I'd like to invite you to participate as you are comfortable. It goes like this. Close your eyes. Take a deep, cleansing breath and relax into your body. Imagine that you are sitting in a pool of gentle light. Pause to admire its brightness and color. This is the light of your own soul. With your breath, draw that light into your body. Imagine it suffusing the recesses of your mind where cramped thoughts lie. Let your face relax as the light brushes against it and fills your features. Use your breath to draw the light into tight shoulders and your weary back. Breathe light into your beating heart. Allow the light to spread along your arms and legs until even the palms of your hands and the soles of your feet are radiant with it. Rest in that good light. And when you are ready, come back to the room. For too long, we have believed that the divine, for which we long, is outside of us. When we focus our longing on a faraway divinity, we put an unfair strain on that longing. And sometimes our longing, overstrained in that way, bends back on itself and becomes cynicism, an emptiness, and negativity. We do not need to strain towards a distant God. If we believe that the body is in the soul and the soul is divine ground, then the presence of the divine is completely here, close with us. And that experience of the divine is available to us. We do not need to limit our searching after God, our desire to find God's peace, to the work of the intellect alone. We can use our senses and our holy imagination to reach out for assurance, just as Thomas reached out at Jesus' invitation to touch and see and trust. There is another image that I find helpful. Another time in the Gospel of John, Jesus met a Samaritan woman at a well. Maybe you will remember it. He asks her for water, which surprises her. And then he promises her that if she asks, he will give her living water. We spend a lot of time focusing on the fact that Jesus, an unwed Jewish man, was speaking to an unrelated Samaritan woman he had never met before. And how wonderful that he broke down social barriers. And that is a good and important lesson from that story. But I think we might be missing the larger point. He promised her an internal spring of water gushing up to eternal life. That is an image I return to again and again. It's an image I offer to you as something to hold on to in wordless prayer, to focus on the well at the root of your soul. Imagine that nourishing stream of belonging, ease, peace, and delight. Feel with your visual imagination the refreshing waters of that well gradually flowing up through the arid earth of a tired soul. If those images, the light that surrounds us and the water that wells up within us, are not helpful, here is one more. There is within each of us a still point. Sometimes neglected, sometimes weighted down and covered over by the busyness of life, sometimes even by joy, by fear, by anger, often by self-recrimination. But it is there. You can imagine it as the spot where the light gathers, or from which the spring of water gushes, or simply as a space of stillness where judgment, evaluation, and measurement of all kinds are absent. Whatever image works for you, the invitation is to go there, to reach inward to receive the peace of Christ. This is not a condition of being accepted or of being good enough to do the work of resurrection, but an invitation to nourishment and kindness to your own soul. Not once, but habitually. Not rigorously, but lovingly. You are invited home, into yourself, into communion with God. You are invited into peace. Amen.
Listen, listen, listen.